Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the live cast for Friday, May 5th, 2017. I'm Torch audio analyst Rich Fan. Senior columnist Bruce Mitchell is on assignment. We're still looking to talk to you this week to talk about all the fun stuff that happened in the world of wrestling, both here in the United States and beyond. As always, our number is area code 515-605-9345. Again, area code 515-605-9345. 9345. Because Bruce is away handling business, I will be joined momentarily by my good friend Chris Maitland, and we're going to be chatting with you guys a little bit about the Vince McMahon biopic, the week it was in wrestling, New Japan, and whatever you want to talk about. So before we get this train rolling too far, let's invite on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Christopher Maitland. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain. It's a wonderful night here in Pittsburgh. My wife's one final away from being done for the semester, so that means my life can be a heck of a lot simpler when I get home.
And you have a birthday coming up as well.
Yes. I've joked with Bruce that before I became a permanent fixture with him on this Friday live cast, the Friday flagship, that I knew something was up when he changed the area code to my birthday. The first three numbers to the favorite TBS wrestling, and then the Ric Flair 93, 45-minute draw with Steamboat. He said I was off my meds, so I kind of had to accept that as the truth.
Well, but yeah, I'm glad that I can help you out filling today.
Excellent, excellent. I'm glad. And for those of you guys who are calling in, make sure you push one on your touchtone phone. I don't know if anyone has rotary anymore, but spin one on your rotary dial if you want to join with the conversation. We'll be with you guys in a few moments, but Chris, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Vince McMahon biopic. Wade's done a good job, both in the newsletter, which everyone definitely should spend the $10 to go VIP, talking about where it should start, where it should end, and what should be the ties that bind the entire script. What are your thoughts on the biopic, and how do you think it should – let's start with how do you think it should end?
I think it should end in 94. I think the biopic, long story short, the script was ridiculous, but I think the timetable was good. Him meeting his dad, getting involved in wrestling, rising WWF at that point to where it became, and then his – potential downfall, I think for the casual audience that would watch, that would be the best timeline to go with.
Excellent. And do you think there should be any specific moments, like if it's going to stop in 94, do you show the wrestlers? Do you show it more from Vince in the back dealing with things, a la, say, 30 Rock, or something in the middle?
I think it should be about Vince. You know, I don't know how deep you want to get into the thought process behind going with Hulk Hogan as opposed to Bob Backlund. You know, I'm trying to think of like a big scale. How much does that matter? You know, obviously you have to talk about the wrestlers, you know, those two in particular, Andre the Giant. There's a few others who would have to be in there somewhere, but I think it would be more about Vince and kind of his life. But I guess the answer to that too as well is how much do you show of his early life as well as the initial dealing with his father? Kind of will lead to how much you would show of him in control.
Awesome. Personally, for me, I'm looking at it, and I think the tie that binds should be family, and I think it should be something for those people who've watched some of the comic book movies. If you look at Man of Steel and how you would start in the present and then little flashbacks would occur, I think if you start with, say, Vince dealing with a typical Raw, and then every time he handles a problem, he goes back to another seminal moment in his life that made this problem seem completely like a joke compared to everything else. And of course, since he's signing off on it, I think it should refer back at some point as well to the fact that he says every day, it should be your first day of work. And that could be another angle. We show the first day of work for any of his key personnel, a Pat Patterson, someone like, say, Terry Bollea, you know, first day he gets to meet him, working with Bob Backlund the first time, meeting his dad, dealing with the issues with his dad. You know, I joked on the East Coast cast that one of the angles I would go with is Vince dealing with talking to people after he had gotten rid of his Southern accent that I had made up. I even talked about that a little bit last week as well here on the Friday flagship. But ultimately, I think it's going to have to end some way with Vince triumphant. I don't think the steroid trial would be it. I don't think for the mainstream audience, ending with winning the Monday Night Wars would be it either. I'm thinking something along the lines of, especially since the president would approve, the Battle of the Billionaires and showing how much of a mainstream appeal he had with the most lucrative to that point WrestleMania of all time.
Right, or even just showing WrestleMania at one of these massive stadiums, maybe the one, you know, that we were at last year in Dallas, you know, showing that, because the whole mantra is you took wrestling from these small arenas into big stadiums. What better way to end than 90,000 at the Cowboy Stadium?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, before we get started with the calls, we're going to do a little commercial break to thank the fine folks who support us here at The Torch. So right after our commercial break, we'll be right on the line with 615. Stay with us here on the Friday Pre-W Torch livecast.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Okay, welcome back. And like Wade said in the commercial, the PW Torch livecast, obviously you're listening to it now here, but when you go VIP, you get so much more. You get exclusive interviews. You get, obviously, Wade's thoughts with his daily updates. You get the website itself with all the awesome editorials, such as Bruce's this week, where he talks about the only thing one can do to handle the quote-unquote Roman Reigns situation, and much more. So definitely consider throwing $10 our way, and I think it'll be well worth your money and well worth your time. 615, you're first up. State your name, where you're calling from on this Friday's PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, VIP member. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome, Kenny. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I have a rare day off. I've been working a lot lately, and I actually took the time to watch last Wednesday's NXT, so I want to talk a little bit about that, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
I just want to talk a little bit about the build-up for the Fatal 4-Way that's now going to be taking place, where Asuka interfered in that Battle Royal. And really, I can't think of the last time that a Battle Royal had ended in a DQ of some sort. I thought that was kind of strange, but I liked how she came in and the fans just reacted like they do normally do to Asuka, giving her cheers and all that, and she just beat up the three other women, Amber Moon, Riot, and Cross. And really, my question is, the way that they're setting this up, do you think it's a way of, and I think it's pretty obvious, they're going to try to get her the title off of her and not have her lose or get pinned in the NXT TakeOver in Chicago? Do you think that that is the ultimate plan, is to have her, you know, basically come out strong and then head to the main roster?
Chris?
Sure. I don't know if they want her head to the main roster necessarily. I do agree with you, Kay, though, that they definitely want to keep her strong. I mean, she's beaten pretty much everyone NXT, and Rich and I and a couple of friends of ours are at her winning the title at NXT TakeOver in Dallas last year. I don't know about the main roster, but I feel like she's become sort of popular now just because she's beat everyone and people love the, you know, she's almost like the female Brock Lesnar. So I do think if she loses the title, it's going to be in some sort of convoluted sort of way to get the crowd behind her.
And for me, I look at it like this. If you go back a few months, they went to a takeover where Asuka had to take on – it was a four-way where it was Billy Kay and Peyton Royce and I want to say it was Nikki Cross from Sanity. That four-way occurred because those – Billy Kay and Peyton jumped her and then Nikki hit her off the, with the knee off the top while she was trying to recover herself and then ran into Steven Riggle's office and screamed she wanted all of them. So this is her heel version of that. So for me, I'm very excited about it because Asuka faces her heel. She really doesn't care about the people she's wrestling. She just wants to destroy them. And to both of your points, I don't want to necessarily look at her as a Brock Lesnar type. I think it's more Goldberg, especially because of the fact they keep harping her win total. Like right now, she's at 170-0. So to your point, Kenny, I don't know if they want her to lose without having lost the belt. If anything, I see her at TakeOver winning via chicanery and then losing it to whomever they're going to dub the new queen of the women's division should she move up to the main roster.
Yeah, I look at it in the sense that they have got to figure out who that's going to be. And right now, if I had to take a guess, that'll probably be Ember Moon. I mean, she's pretty much over, in my opinion, with the crowd enough to where if she has to replace Asuka, she'd probably be the perfect fit. I don't know if you guys agree if she's the one, or do you think there's somebody else that you see that could be a better fit to replace Asuka as the top female star in NXT?
Well, I think one of the problems with – oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was saying I agree with Kenny. I think part of my issue with NXT is that while they haven't had someone to replace her, partly because it seems that some people there are supposed to be heading to the main roster while some aren't, at least not initially. But, yeah, I think Ember Moon would be the best choice.
I think one of the problems right now with Ember is during that battle royal you mentioned, Kenny, I don't know if you noticed, but she went through the second rope and kind of landed awkwardly.
And
she's been out since that taping with her shoulder in a sling. So she might be injured. It might even become a three-way instead of the four-way. So that's something that bears monitoring, especially if it's an injury that lasts a long time. NXT wrestlers that are on their way to a title match, such as Hideo Itami, seem to be star-crossed when it comes to these shoulder injuries.
Yeah, and I guess that's sort of like one of those baseball-related injuries. And also, I want to talk a little bit about the Vince McMahon biopic, if you guys have the time to do so.
Absolutely.
You know, I've been kind of going through this as far as, you know, generally, you know, I love movies and I've watched a lot of movies. Generally, the first draft isn't always necessarily going to be the final draft. And I think a lot of it is, you know, we're all kind of concerned about it. But I really feel that it's going to be very, very difficult to figure out how do you start and finish a movie, especially with somebody that has lived as many lives and gone through as many stuff as, you know, Vince McMahon has gone through. I really just feel like that in order to really sell it the way they want to sell it, they really should not just go into, you know, the personal stuff as much. I think that that's just, you know, that might bog down the movie, especially if you're trying to get it to, let's say, 2 hours or whatever. Try to keep it kind of within what the perception is of Vince McMahon, you know, as far as, you know, stay away from things like WBF and the XFL. Because the whole point really of a movie is to sell you on the good stuff, especially when it comes to selling the trailer and what people's perception of what Vince McMahon is, and they see him as this sort of this iconic, you know, American icon in a sense, sort of like a Rockefeller or Howard Hughes type of personality. And if I had to be in charge of the creative aspect, I would just mainly stick on the wrestling and, you know, stay away from some of that other stuff. You know, if you want to include the steroid stuff, you can, because that's just a big part. He's a big part of it. Whether we admit it or not, he's a big part of that culture in a sense. And I don't know if, would you agree that he would include, I mean, how much of the steroid stuff would you accommodate into that movie if you were in charge of the film itself?
I think it kind of depends on how, I mean, for the people who have seen the script, I haven't seen it. I've heard descriptions from Wade and others. It reminds me of Pain and Gain, if you've seen that movie. And I think they did a good job of mixing the insane with the funny, with the realistic. But I don't think you want to strike that much of a chord with Vince, especially because of how vulnerable that would make him look, and I don't think he would greenlight that.
And also, if I can jump in, you know, movies like to have highs, lows, back and forth. So one of the reasons why I thought about the steroid trial is that was a pretty easy low to show. You know, I don't know a movie showing like ratings being bad or someone getting injured is going to really get a lot of people excited. But I think that, you know, just from a movie arc standpoint, having, you know, humble upbringings coming out of nowhere to getting this big success and then falling and then coming back is like a typical Hollywood story.
Yeah, that I do agree with that. I mean, to me, it is in many ways a very typical Hollywood story, especially with the proposed name of the title, which I kind of hope they kind of change that because that just sounds too much, you know, it has a cornball sound, carny sound to it that has a stigma with pro wrestling fans, and hopefully they can come up with a better mainstream name than Pandemonium. It just sounds too much like an homage to Gorilla Monsoon every time I hear that.
Yeah, I it's funny because I'm actually on the opposite side of it. As you're saying it right now, Kenny, I can imagine Vince being in a sound booth for hours in his gravelly voice trying to perfect Pandemonium, you know, just to get that across. I think he would. I think he probably enjoys that title.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that is all I had to bring up today. I really enjoyed the show so far, and I hope you guys have a good rest of the night.
Oh, thanks. You too, Kenny. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you.
That was Kenny, VIP member. And we're going to next move on to 478. 478, after you hear the beep, why don't you state your name and where you're calling from?
Gorilla from Georgia. How you doing today, Rich and Chris?
Good, D. How are you, man?
I'm doing quite well. How are you? Just another day. Well, Cinco de Mayo getting ready to go, so playing Black Spanish today.
Black Spanish. Darrell, you never see
yeah.
a movie. You
that,
never
is that
see
kind of like Chad Uncle Cinco, like what he was used to do? Something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what you got for us this week,
Darrell,
dude?
Cinco de Mayo. But yeah.
Cinco de
Yeah, but I wanted to touch on NXT too, with a couple of vignettes that they've been doing, like with Roddy Strong and the one just they showed just this week with Drew Galloway, that making me even more love his music and the hard bass line that it takes, and with the formerly known Tommy End, Aleister Black. What do you think about the lineup that NXT building right now and coming at you with? That's my first question.
Okay. I think, and Chris will chime in definitely to the affirmative with this point because I know he's very staunch on it. I think they're doing what my good friend here hates, and they're building the roster again with indie darlings. I don't mind it. I think that's what they kind of need if they're going to be a touring brand, but they also have to mix it in. And I don't want to steal his thunder, but I know longtime Torch VIP member Brian Austin has a – wants to talk about the Velveteen Dream when he calls in. So on one side, you do have these guys like Black, Galloway, and Roddy Strong. But then on the other, you are mixing in, I think that's Patrick Clark in that role, as well as Heavy Machinery. I'm trying to think of the tag team that's slipping my mind right now. Authors of Pain. So they have
AOP.
A good mix of... Yeah, guys that they've developed in addition to the indie darlings. It's just a matter of finding that mix because you have 100 people at that training facility, and we're only seeing like 20 at a given time. Chris?
Yeah, I could go on. You know, Rich knows my theory of NXT and the sort of shell game I think it is. But you know, those three wrestlers, three of which you know I saw wrestling in different promotions last year, Evolve and Ring of Honor, respectively. Are great talents, and part of the issue with what WWE has always done, no matter what, is presenting people a certain way that even they have different talents that they can be sort of augmented. Someone like Roderick Strong is a great wrestler, but they need to sort of showcase that. And I think that those three are three definite great examples for them to go forward. How much will people around the country love them. We'll see. You know, I'm personally a big fan of Cash Bono, which I watched first wrestling at Pittsburgh in Independence. We were in college, so it's sort of like great to see him. And NXT definitely stocked the roster. There's a lot of fun up. But I definitely, Darrell, you mentioned, are great focal points for the future.
Okay. I think so too. I really like Aleister Black. The whole entrance, how they showcasing him and everything is really something different and something what they need. I think he's replacing what Finn Balor gave him with his entrance and stuff like that, just off of that alone. So I really like him, and like I told Rich before, I'm loving Drew Galloway. The music, I'm liking that he coming in hard hitting babyface, and the vignette that they put on him yesterday showcased all of that. The hard hitting, the old, how he done grew up, came of age. I think he said that in an interview with Wade, that he done grew into his man body. They kind of showed that into in the vignette that they did. And again, that music just does it for me. So I really like that. The second question I got to ask you, I know y'all was just talking about Asuka, and I think that she's being billed as this big heel, maybe to be a challenger down the line for Charlotte, since they're going to make Charlotte, since Charlotte is a babyface. What do you think about that?
I think Asuka should be on the main roster, but I don't think that they have a desire to put her there, but definitely she could be a great asset, and especially the program with Charlotte. If I would prefer it differently, if Charlotte was heel bragging about how she beat someone else, I beat everyone, and Asuka came in kind of as a buzzsaw, but I don't feel that WWE has this desire to put her in the roster.
Yeah, and I think that Asuka, at some point, I think she will make it to the main roster, mainly because they are trying to sign Kairi Hojo and Io Shirai, two wonderful women wrestlers from Stardom. And if they do actually acquire those ladies, that would be an injection of talent that would be equal to Asuka. And again, kind of do the same thing on the women's side of the ledger that they're currently doing on the men with Roddy, Aleister Black, and Chris Hero et al. I think the big thing for me with Charlotte as a face, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit too, is it's funny how things are cyclical. And I don't know if they intentionally did this, but with Arn Anderson as a producer, it makes sense. Becky Lynch is becoming the Sting to Charlotte's Ric Flair, even down to the point where she's doing what my friends in college would dub Sting Fu against the other ladies on SmackDown this Thursday, where she took on like five people by herself. And as the numbers dwindle, she then is least likely to actually win the fight.
And we should explain, by the way, that Sting Fu comes from watching Nitro, where Sting would beat up the entire NWO, including Hulk Hogan. When he wrestled Hulk Hogan by himself, he couldn't beat him up.
I remember those days.
And Darrell,
with the bat, yeah.
I got you. You're on the phone. I really wanted to hit home a point that you made on Twitter. And I thought it was excellent when I was working today, and it was just running in the back of my head. And I was like, you know what? I got to give Darrell credit, because I give him a hard time on the East Coast cast. So I got to give him credit when he has credit due. When you talked about the idea of fans are more focused on stalking wrestlers and not knowing where the line is as far as giving them professional privacy or even personal privacy, I thought about the Randy Orton bathroom pick, but you – I saw on Twitter a number of people put up screenshots of wrestling fans saying, I can't believe I figured out where Renee Young and Dean Ambrose live. I followed them home. Oh, my God, this is so scary. Like, that's crossing the line. And as much as editor-publisher Wade Keller likes to fairly criticize the WWE for not maintaining kayfabe in a professional manner, I think that's something that needs to be done as far as the lines being crossed on the fans' end as well.
Yes, that's was something I wanted to ask. I was going to email that in to the Bruce Mitchell show, audio show. But, yeah, I think
Definitely do that. Definitely okay. Send it to Bruce, because I know he'll want to put his two cents in as well.
okay? Because I think people, people be hard on them, say they need to do so, like the picture with Braun Strowman them and people were blowing up. But everybody always constantly trying to make these wrestlers, check these wrestlers and make them stay in their place and keep the characters when we know kayfabe been dead since the 50s. But nobody ever checked the fans. Nobody ever checked the fans when they go too far, when they try to follow, find everything out about the wrestler, follow their family members, then because they don't like the character on TV, they throw that at family members who have nothing to do with the TV, who don't wrestle or nothing like that, or stalk them or somehow hack their phones, post their private pictures and stuff like that. So, and the Charlotte incident is what made me think of that. So that's why I said all of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. I thought it was well said. Obviously, tonight we're not going to try to go too much into that just for respect to her privacy. But I think the point you made from that was absolutely on point.
And I concur with all that's been said.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, my last question for you guys is, I know Bruce, he thinks Shinsuke might not make it, but coming from somebody who Vince never pushed guys like Shinsuke, a foreigner, Japanese guy, without having them do some type of quirky silliness, having somebody speak for them, Kai and Tai type of stuff, and for him to be leading a pay-per-view, the promos that they did for that pay-per-view, which were awesome to me, how they showcased them and stuff better than what they did when they have Dolph Ziggler talk about him. Shouldn't we take a step back and think about he's coming and doing something different. He's like a first of his kind of them pushing as a major star, almost pushing him like a Brock Lesnar. And you're going to have some slip-ups and mistakes, but right now he's on a great footing. Because fans know who he is, they're singing the song, and they want to get to know him. So we should give WWE some type of prop.
Yes, I think that their display of Nakamura so far has been great. My only concern always is that, you know, Vince McMahon changes his mind or he gets disinterested. So for 2 months it might be great. Something happens in July and he changes his mind. I think that one of the things that I've always had an issue with WWE, going back to when I was a kid, was they don't always use people's positives to their benefit like most people do in any organization. As long as they work with Nakamura, he's one of the most charismatic wrestlers, probably the most now and one of the most of recent memory, they can get a lot out of him, but they have to always have him on focus. Like they have Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, you know, John Cena a focus. They need to put that type of focus on Nakamura and let him, you know, do what he can do.
Yeah, I think you both nail it. I think with Nakamura, I mentioned with Bruce last week, my biggest issue is that at this point, Dolph Ziggler is the starlet that you see in a Hollywood, old-time Hollywood movie that's sitting by the bus stop with a cigarette telling all the young girls from Iowa they're just going to be like her in 10 years. And, you know, as soon as they hear a casting call, I'm ready for my close-up, yada, yada. So it's kind of pathetic on his end, but that's pulling, it's kind of like an albatross or an anchor that's pulling down Nakamura. The jokes about Michael Jackson are dated. It's just the more that they try to make their version of a wrestler, the more it gets weird. So I'm hoping for his sake that they definitely ease up on that as we see the coming weeks. All right. Well,
I think
Durrell, I'm sorry. Durrell, I didn't mean to do that. Let me put you back on. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I think so, too. And thank you guys for answering my question.
Oh, no problem, man. You have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Enjoy Cinco de Mayo.
You guys, too. All right.
All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, 647, you're next up, followed by 623 on the Friday PW Torch, Friday Flagship Livecast.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, we're back for this Friday, May 5th, 2017 edition of the PW Torch Friday Flagship Live Cast. Before I bring back my co-host for the evening, Christopher Maitland, I do also, since we're talking about sister sites, want to plug where I came from, the East Coast Cast. So if you go to the East Coast Audio Show at gmail.com, you can send an email. We meet up every Wednesday from 6 p.m. till, I want to say, 9 for the free portion. That's done by Cameron J. Hawkins and Travis Bryant, Torch columnist and audio analyst. And then for the VIP portion, myself and Travis meet, where we go over VIP emails, the thoughts of the day, and anything that comes into our heads. Now, with East Coast Cast, you could go to eastcoastcast.com or Facebook, search for East Coast Cast. You definitely want to keep this outside of the minivan. This is not minivan radio. Anything and anyone and any subject is on the line, so don't set a situation up where you can have an awkward moment with your wife or your husband or your significant other or child where you're explaining why is Mr. Travis talking about this inappropriate thing. Learn from me. Don't make my mistake. Now, that being said, I'm going to bring my partner in crime on now, Chris. We're going to be on with 647. 647, welcome to the Friday Live Cast. Why don't you state your name and where you're calling from? Hopefully that's not a flat line of some sort, because that's very worrisome.
Sounds like as his WWE theme song is about to come on.
Yeah, he's short, he's angry, and he's got a leather jacket on. He's short. That's a song for another time. So we're going to move on to 623. 623, welcome to Friday Live Cast. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Chris. This is Brian calling from Phoenix, 26-year PW Torch VIP subscriber.
26 strong. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Brian.
Doing great. Hey, Chris. Nice to talk to you. First time talking to you. And unfortunately, you're the one who put Rich upon the PW Torch. So I'm not sure if I should thank your hand or should I hit you. I'm not sure which one I should do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to apologize. This is my second appearance. I have to apologize for that. Rich is taking it to a level I could never imagine.
I'm amazed that Brian's met you for the first time and he got your name right, because he's talked for me for a better part of a year and a half, and I was waiting for him to call me Cam or Shahid or Bruce.
So I was going to write, and you're going to force me into writing something about how you ascended so quickly through the Torch hierarchy. You didn't start off with just like a regular call, and then somehow you started doing the VIP, and then somehow you started doing the Friday, and then somehow now you're second time hosting solo. But not solo, you're with Chris, but hosting yourself. So next you know, you have a column in the actual Torch bulletin. So we'll see what happens with your climb, Rich.
Well, I learned from my high school coach, the best ability is availability. So my propensity to be a homebody and my wife in law school has made it very easy for me to be available for these fun things.
And see, and your son's raising himself, so that all works out in the end, right?
Well played, sir. Well played.
Brian, great. This is great stuff.
And Chris, also to add in another thing, you know, actually that's not true. Trey is not raising himself. He has Danny DeVito to help him out as well. And that's the East Coast Cast inside joke there.
Man, Brian, you are bringing it this evening. Mother of God.
You started it. Just remember that. Okay, so to be serious, now, I hope you both have a real good night. And similarly to like Darrell, I'm at Barrio Queens right now, and actually in Scottsdale, Arizona, having my one single de mile drink, and I'm going to go home afterwards. So I'll get this done real quick. But my question is, like you said, Rich, is that I mentioned about the Velveteen Dream. But before I do that, the one comment I have is that Harley Race, you know, the great NWA champion, one of the toughest men that ever lived, his Twitter handle is 8-time, you know, world champion. So he actually puts down, he celebrates that, you know, Phantom 8th title that he won in New Zealand for 2 days that him and Ric Flair traded it off. So to me, it was just kind of funny because how WWE references him as being a 7-time champion, but his Twitter handle actually has 8-time champion. So to me, it's just pretty funny there.
Oh, yeah. If you remember Josh from the East Coast cast, him and I have a longstanding argument because I count 25 or 26 titles for Flair. And he is absolutely livid whenever I mention that because he's completely in the bag for John Cena having 16 time. I was like, well, 16 is great, but he needs another 10. And, you know, he'll constantly say, well, these matches didn't happen. I was like, well, when you have 40, 50,000 people that saw a man lose a title, that it happened. Otherwise, you're going to tell me that Pat Patterson's Intercontinental title win never happened in a tournament in Rio. I need bodies. I need bodies. I saw that match happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question, though, is like you mentioned earlier, Rich, is that so I went to NXT was here in Phoenix last night, first time NXT been here. I had a really good time. You saw I had a Southpaw Regional Wrestling T-shirt that I wore. I had a couple compliments for it, too, which was pretty nice. But Patrick Clark, actually, he wrestled, and he wrestled Drew Galloway. It's a pretty good match. You know, ultimately, of course, Drew Galloway, man, Drew McIntyre. I'm not sure if I messed that up either because I know him better as McIntyre, you would think. But anyway, Drew McIntyre beat Patrick Clark. So Patrick Clark, you know, is, of course, still doing the Velveteen Dream. Now, he did it maybe twice on NXT TV, and we haven't seen him do it for a while, but I sent you a clip. And I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't realize you were working today. I would but I don't have your Twitter, if you have one, Twitter handle. But I sent it to Bruce and I sent it to Rich. The 30-minute video that WWE put up on the Velveteen Dream. So I was going to get both of your opinion, though, about, you know, do you think this has any legs to it? You know, it's going to be pretty tough because, you know, Undertaker's Taker, Goldust, you know, when Goldust went off the rails when he started doing all the bondage stuff, and then, you know, those don't count like Black Reign or whatever the heck TNA had him do a couple times. But, you know, you see this and this lasting, and I'm going to go back to NXT really quick. He, you know, did the act there, and it wasn't, you know, the entrance wasn't that great because it's a house show. You know, so they had, like, a video screen up, and he walked out, had, you know, kind of a ruffle shirt on, a headband on. He pretty much wrestled in purplish, fuzzy tights and boot and white boots and everything. But what do you can see, what would you see him working with this? And I'll hang on and listen, guys, to get to you and all this noise. I'll just hang on and listen. Thanks a lot, Rich and Chris.
All right.
Have a real good weekend.
Chris, why don't you start? Or actually, you know what? Let me start since I actually saw the video.
Sure.
One of the biggest issues, I think, and we've talked about this off the air, the WWE has next to no nuance when it comes to issues pertaining gender, sexuality, and race. So having someone play a Jace character is playing with fire, in my personal opinion, because you have so many aspects of Prince that could be made fun of. You have this, you know, very short man who wore frilly outfits and people would say could look effeminate, but was one of the biggest sex symbols in the world while he was alive. So having the WWE, even in NXT, which I think could be a little more nuanced, do it. It only, if it's as bad as I think it could be at NXT, it'll only be worse on the main roster. What do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think, you know, we've talked about that lack of nuance. And to me, I think even if they got it at NXT, the nuance that you speak about when it became the WWE, you know, the main roster, they'd want to put their own shine of it. I think an example of this was I went to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view in December here in New York City, and I saw Dalton Castle's entrance. And I remember texting you saying, wow, I couldn't imagine seeing this entrance at a WrestleMania, and then immediately texted you, thought if I wouldn't do it right, because I could see how it could work, but they wouldn't put it in a position where it actually would work to its benefit. And so I'll have to watch this video and see. You know, I hope they give it a chance if it works, but I definitely agree with you there on that they might lose some nuance at some point in it.
Awesome, Brian. Thanks. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo. 647. We're gonna try you one more time. Why don't you try to state your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Mark from Ontario. Can you guys hear me okay?
Absolutely, Mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. And Chris, good to talk to you again. my question is really about the build that they're going for with Raw. The way that they ended the show with you know, confirming the feuds, you know, Samoa Joe, et cetera. Do you think that all of those feuds kind of are long term, or do you think that it's going to lead to a fight with Brock Lesnar? And second to that, what are your thoughts of a potential fight against Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor? Because I'm thinking, you know, with them saying, with Finn saying, I want my title back. The fight, the match with Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor is, I don't know. It's the guy that weighs him by well over 100 pounds, and it's going to be a hard match to watch, in my opinion. What are your thoughts there?
Chris?
I agree. That would be a hard match to watch. I think the one thing with Finn Balor is I feel like he hasn't really been on the main roster that long to actually wrestle. He was there for about a month or so, getting that injury, and he's been back for a month. I think they really need to do a slow build with him and get the crowd really behind him, and then, you know, I know obviously he already was the champion, but then go in that direction. I am concerned about him being, you know, almost maybe 100 pounds less than Brock Lesnar, how that would look. I really think that the main event is based on, you know, really, I guess Strowman is fighting Lesnar at the June pay-per-view, so I guess his matchup, you know, whoever wins one of these feuds, my guess will be Seth Rollins will be the next opponent for Brock Lesnar.
And for me, I think I don't mind it as much, especially having watched so much of Balor in New Japan. He's faced wrestlers that have been quite big. Brock obviously is the supersized exception to almost every rule, so the mileage is going to vary there. But I think if he's going to be truly treated as a main event wrestler and not a 205 live cruiserweight, these sorts of size differentials are going to be something you see. Watching New Japan the last couple of days, you know, Kazuchika Okada versus Bad Luck Fale, that was definitely a huge size disparity, and there were a couple of spots where I got worried that Okada might not have the power to hold up Fale, who's he's got to be a smooth 300 pounds, and that went along fine. I've seen Fale and Balor. I mean, they even highlighted before the match Balor riding Fale's shoulders, and that did kind of, to your point, Mark, show how small he was compared to Bad Luck Fale, so yeah, the Brock match could kind of go south. As far as the setup, though, for the Monday night finish, I love the fact that The Miz is the number one contender because, as Shahid from the East Coast Cast fame mentioned, I'm feeling quite good that the rest of the wrestling fandom is catching up finally to my unadulterated love for The Miz and how much appreciation he's getting not only as a heel but as a heel wrestler. I think before he would get the odd attaboy for some of his promos, but now you're seeing him wrestle almost an old style heel role where he doesn't have to be the technical marvel. He just has to be the jerk you hate and want to see get punched in the face.
I got an idea, Rich. Why don't, I know your wife's a big fan of Maurice, and I know obviously you take your son trick or treating. Maybe you and her can dress up as Miz and the Maurice for Halloween.
See, now you're trying. Luckily, Melissa doesn't listen to the live cast. Otherwise, I would have an issue. So I'm just going to pretend like we never recorded this episode and then go from there. Anything else for us, Mark, before my friend drives me insane?
Yeah, just one last thing. Mm-hmm. In terms of the presentation of Nakamura thus far, you know, they had the Michael Jackson, and now they've got the really awesome commercials. Do you see that as kind of Nakamura's thing going forward? You know, not talking, just having, you know, cool vignettes as his going forward kind of replacement promo, or do you think he's going to talk a lot?
I hope he talks a lot more. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think the one thing with Nakamura and the issue I've had with WWE's presentation for years is that they try to present everyone in the same way. But I don't really want to see Nakamura stand in the ring, kind of 20-minute promo, because that's not what his character would do. I think that he would have to talk a little bit more, he can't be solely the silent assassin, but I think that he needs to be shown as a man of actions more than a man of words.
Yeah, I can agree with that, and I think in a perfect world, especially since I know a number of our listeners, Boris, Daniel K. from K-State, watch New Japan on Access, and they don't get bothered by having post-match promos where they're looking at subtitles. And I think if they would do that with some of the wrestlers that aren't speaking English particularly well, that would go a long way. But I think that also goes back to the whole mythos of wrestling fans, like how many people want to quote-unquote read while they're watching wrestling. And that's going to be an issue for me. I think also, like I mentioned last week, something as simple as letting the man take his mouthpiece out when he is speaking, that goes a long way to help having him be understood as well. So what do you think, Mark? Anything else for the order, or are you good for this weekend?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure, man. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, guys.
That was Mark from Ontario. Great guy. We're going to take our last break, and then we're going to finish strong here on the PW Torch Friday Flagship Livecast.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
All right, we're back. Make sure you guys go to pwtorch.com/VIP and get all the latest information on how you can go VIP. And since my birthday is coming up on the 15th, if you want to go to Amazon and go to the PW Torch Amazon link, I would not mind that. Absolutely. Do it. In fact, Bruce suggested that. I felt a little guilty about it last week, but now I'm all in. I figure we're about almost 2 weeks out. YOLO. Chris, what do you think about that? Me exploiting my position with the Torch and my association with Bruce to get more birthday gifts.
I think that people who want to see you dress up as the Miz for Halloween can buy you a Miz outfit on Amazon using the Torch link. And that's a great idea. I think it's awesome.
In the words of Arrested Development, I think I made a terrible mistake. So hopefully no one ever sends this to my wife or no one actually follows up on that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go to 704. 704, why don't you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, man, it's Brian from Charlotte, North Carolina. How you doing?
Outstanding, Brian. How about yourself, sir?
Hello, Brian.
I'm good. I have a question for you, and then I'd like to put my two cents worth in after you guys answer it. So I'm going to give you the names of four NXT superstars, American Alpha, Sami Zayn, mm-hmm. Sasha Banks, and Bayley. And my question for you is, whose push has been jumbled the most or messed up the most, and why?
Oh, man.
I got this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say Bayley for this reason. WWE has spent a lot of years making baby faces not get upset about getting cheated and screwed over. But Bayley was the first, or maybe there have been other examples, was like the one baby face who somehow accepted that someone cheated for them and didn't care, and like completely against her character. You're supposed to be hardworking, happy to be there. So I vote for Bayley as the most screwed up. And also the finish on Sunday with her losing in her hometown was absolutely ridiculous.
And I would
what about
say,
you, Rich?
Out of that group, Brian, I think I would say Sasha Banks. And the reason I would say that is because of the injury she suffered, I want to say a couple of weeks into her second reign, she's never really shaken the fragile label, and I think that's done a lot to hurt her. Coupled with, even though she is the boss, she's from Boston, so the more she does promos, the more her accent comes out, and the less she seems like the role she's created fits her as a person.
Yeah, I agree. When Sasha does her interviews, it's almost like she's acting. She doesn't seem real natural. Out of that group, I got to go with American Alpha. They were the IT tag team in NXT, and they are just nothing on SmackDown. So I think what I would do is for Sami Zayn, I think he's in danger of becoming the next Dolph Ziggler. I would actually make him I would turn him heel and put him in a tag team with Ziggler and put the belts on them and let American Alpha chase. As far as Sasha goes, I think the money feud for her is not Bayley. I'm hoping they don't turn her. I think the money feud for her is with Alexa Bliss. If she goes into full legit boss mode, I think they could have a heck of a program, and Bayley could go work with Mickie James or somebody like that, and they could save that for WrestleMania. So what would you guys do to rejuvenate their careers?
I think, first of all, you're right. There's no wrong answer. They've all had issues. I think with Sammy, it's been weird. The one thing I remember noting to Rich a few months ago is that no one remembers that he won the feud with Kevin Owens, their last ever match that they had last summer. He won. I think definitely booking him and Ziggler in a tag team was not a bad idea. I think American Alpha, I think part of it with American Alpha is they need to have a strong tag team division. I mean, the one thing was, I never heard of American Alpha and watched them fight the Revival at NXT TakeOver and was like, wow, they're great. But they need great opponents. They can't just wrestle the Usos every week. So I think the idea you have with Zayn and Ziggler as a tag team would help both of them, all of them, because then you would have multiple tag teams to feud with.
What do you think about Sasha versus Black?
Oh, I think that's a good idea. I like it. I think it would be they're about the same size. I think they could have a hard-hitting match. I think the big thing for that is it would be Sasha's responsibility to be more of the leader in the match, even though she's the face and a heel typically, by tradition's sake, would lead the match. Because I love Miss 5 Feet of Fury. Alexa still's trying to get there as far as her ability in the ring. She does some of the little things well. I mean, I noticed from the second she turned heel in NXT, I want to say, when she was with Blake and Murphy, she would do the old school regal forearm across her opponent's face when she would go for the pinfall. And those little things to me mean a lot. And so just getting this, like, she doesn't do a dragon suplex, that's not a big deal to me. But if she could keep getting better in the ring so that she can completely own it as much as she owns it when she has the mic in her hand, because to me, I think she's one of the two or three best talkers in that company now. And that is impressive to me as a fourth year wrestler.
Yeah, I agree. And those four make me nervous for Joe, Nakamura, and Vince, and eventually Asuka. I'm real worried about their pushes.
Oh, and to your point with American Alpha, I don't know if you listened to the East Coast cast, Brian, but Cameron Hawkins had a really good point with American Alpha where he assumed they were going to go to Raw and they would become kind of what Kurt Angle is doing now with some of the other wrestlers, where they would have meetings and then they'd leave and Kurt would have that second zone. It's like, for some reason, I just love those guys. I just can't put my finger on it. And then in the background is a picture of like Team Angle or something, and he never looks at it, but the audience gets the joke. Little things like that to kind of tie it in. And then, you know, they had Shelton Benjamin ready to sign a contract before he had to get his shoulder surgery. Things like that would go a long way towards giving them validity, because one of the biggest issues I think they have is, outside of Kurt Angle, there haven't been too many amateur wrestlers they've pushed without them looking like goofs at some point.
Yeah. Well, guys, I really appreciate the conversation tonight, but I wanted to run all that by you because I am nervous about the NXT call-ups. None of them really seem to be getting over other than Finn Balor.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. But I would say we got to look at Alexa Bliss. She's a success story. I would look also at Baron Corbin.
Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin.
Well, see, Kevin Owens was out of count because of the Maitland rule. I'm just talking solely about guys they had a bigger hand in. So I would count Alexa. I'd count Baron Corbin. I definitely would count Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman went from a guy I didn't want to see to one of my favorite parts of Raw now.
Yeah, that's a great point. I agree with you on those.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Brian. You have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend, and hopefully we answered your questions. Chris, before we wrap this puppy up, there's one question I want to ask you, and that is, what do you think about Bayley? What do you think about Bayley versus Becky Lynch? Who's in the better position, and who do you think going forward is going to have a better shot at redeeming themselves outside of being the face that constantly looks like an idiot?
Well, I think the issue to me with Bayley is Bayley's character, you know, is supposed to be someone that everyone gets behind, and I don't think that she's been presented in that way. I mean, I get your Sting analogy with Becky Lynch, but even that, to me, is not as bad as having the person who's, like, so happy-go-lucky, happy to be there. They need to be booked a certain way. They need to be very authentic. They can't be ruthless. They can't be looking for it to cut corners. So I think today I would say Becky Lynch is in better shape than Bayley.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Becky's definitely, especially being associated with Charlotte, that if you have guilt by association, you can kind of get clean by association. Now, it's going to go a long way with Charlotte, how they portray her. If she's still going to be saying the genetically superior stuff and all that, it's going to get a little icky. But I think going forward, her as a face against Natty and the Mean Girls, and, of course, Mr. Ellsworth, which we hadn't even talked about that, but I think that'll be a conversation for another day, how Becky tied him in as one of the girls, and that kind of went over everyone's head. But between that and then Aiden English crying all the time after he loses, you know, those are some signals that I really don't think the people who are in charge get some of the issues people have with things like bullying and sensitivity. You know, it's just not – it doesn't sit right with me. But – like I said, that's a conversation for another day. My friend, it's been a pleasure, as always. And if I need someone to find ways to embarrass me in a public forum, I know the man to call.
I appreciate the kind words, and I'm glad I could help out. And thanks to Bruce and Wade for letting me. And now I'm going to go celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
All right. That was Chris Maitland, one of my lifelong friends, wrestling fan, PW Torch VIP subscriber, and impetus for me signing up. And why don't you guys go VIP? And before we get out of here, I'm going to give you a couple of pieces of information on how you can do that.
As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member.